Give me a mic check for Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, hello, check one Tampa, check two Tampa. I need some more on one.
Okay.
Casino, check, check. Hard Rock. Tampa, check, check. Seminole Hard Rock.
Check it out for yourself at SeminoleHardRock.com. All right, guys, I'm rolling. Let's kick it.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's coolest conversations podcast time in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My special guest today is drummer Paul Cook, best known for his time in the Sex Pistols, but he's also behind the traps in the Professionals, which formed initially after the Sex Pistols ended and then reformed in 2015. Their latest album is called Snafu and features our recent coolest song in the world, Easily Led. We'll hear some of that now, followed by my interview with Paul on our Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Mighty Manfred here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and my guest today for our coolest conversations is Paul Cook, famed drummer in the Sex Pistols, and also the drummer in the Professionals, the latter he formed with fellow Pistols member Steve Jones back when the Sex Pistols had originally ended. The latest Professionals album, Snafu, features our current coolest song of the world, Easily Led. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, thanks.
Have you and your family been able to keep healthy over the past 2 years?
Yeah, we have actually. We're pretty good, you know. We're lucky enough that it hasn't affected us as, like, our lifestyle as much as many other people. But we are. I have had COVID a couple of times, not badly, and we, you know, it has affected loads of things, like being creative and music, being musical and stuff like that, and gigs, as everyone knows. But we managed to get the new album out last year during COVID, which was great.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm glad to know that you're doing better. I know in the early stages of, like, the Sex Pistols, well, Steve Jones was a singer, then he learned to play guitar, but you were always the drummer. What got you behind the drum kit starting off?
Well, when we first started, we just decided to form a band, really, out of the blue. There was a gang of kids all hanging around, our mates. And we just said, well, we love music, we love fashion, we've always loved it. Why don't we start a band? It was just like that, really. And we kind of all chose our own instruments, what to play. Initially, Steve was going to be a singer in the band, but he didn't like that eventually. So he went on to guitar, and I chose to play the drums. And we just got on with it and learned whatever which instrument we decided to play. And we got quite good at it. Quite quickly, we got quite proficient at playing, so that's the way that happened, really, just totally out of the blue.
Well, so you chose the drums. Were you still living at home at the time, or were you out of your folks' place?
No, I was 16, 17 at the time. I was still at home, and I had the drum kit set up in their bedroom upstairs, which, amazingly, they didn't seem to mind. I'm not sure about the neighbours, but... Yeah, that's the way that happened. The kids sat upstairs in their bedroom, and they were very accommodating, really. Amazing, thinking back on it, really.
Wow, that's pretty phenomenal. So your parents overall were pretty supportive of your musical endeavors.
Yeah, that's right. They were really. They just thought, oh, I don't know what they thought really. It just they just let me get on with it, you know. And I suppose they thought, oh, well, at least it's keeping him out of trouble.
Did it keep you out of trouble?
Well, not really, because I used to hang around with Steve Jones quite a lot, and he was just trouble tapped him on the shoulder wherever he went. So, to a lesser degree, it did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so Steve Jones, let's say, I guess a couple more things. You were in the Sex Pistols with him, and then afterwards you guys formed the Professionals. So he's not in the band since you reformed it around 2015, but my understanding is that he has given it his blessing. Can you tell us some about, first, before we move on to, like, I want to talk about Tom and what you guys have done since, but about one more thing about Steve is that, how did you guys actually meet? Were you both in school, or how did you guys start hanging out together?
Yeah, well, we grew up around the same neighborhood as when we were kids, really. We went to different schools, but then we went to high school, as you would say. We went to the same school, and so we've known each other since we were like 10 years old or something like that. And then, you know, we were friends at school, hung out together, went to gigs, and, you know, got up to all sorts of trouble, went clubbing. And so, yeah, we're like soulmates, brothers, really. We go back a long way.
Wow. The original lineup for the Professionals, that ended about 1982. 2015, you reformed the band with Tom Spencer. So first, why did you reform the Professionals? And then secondly, why was Tom the man to replace Steve?
We reformed. Well, I was still in touch with Ray McVeigh and Paul Myers, the guys who were in the Professionals originally with Steve.
Yeah.
I was still in touch with those guys. And we just decided, like, let's just get together for a bit of fun. You know, Steve wasn't around, obviously, because he lives in Los Angeles and we're all in London. And so we got back together just to have a bit of fun. And Tom was around. There was a connection there along the way musically. And Tom was around and we needed a front man. And we had no idea of what we was going to do, really. We just were doing this just to see what we sounded like. And Tom jumped in and done vocals and played guitar. And it kind of evolved from there. And then, you know,
how did you know Tom?
I knew Tom through just playing, not very well, really, through there was a connection with Ginger Wildheart, where we done a gig together once, and it kind of grew from there. And we just bumped into each other at rehearsal rooms and at concerts and pubs and all stuff like that.
Well, it's with Tom you recorded your 2017 album, What in the World? And that one's got some, I guess, other artists contributing parts, right? There's, I think, Steve and Mick Jones, maybe Billy Duffy of The Cult. They're all on there doing parts, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, just because by this time Ray McVeigh had left that lineup of the Professionals, we needed an extra guitar. So I just got my phone book out, really, and started bringing around some friends, guitarist, and seeing if they'd be interested in playing on there. Obviously, we've got Steve on there to start with, Steve Jones, and he was more than happy to get involved. And then it just went on from there. I was in LA with Billy Duffy and Phil Collin. I got them to play some guitar on it, and Duff McKagan and a couple of others back over here, just pulling in some favours, really. And everyone was happy to do it, which was great.
Well, so on the new album, I think, as Billy Duffy, is he playing some lead parts, or he's playing some guitar parts on Easily Led? Are there other contributing musicians on Snafu as well, outside of him?
Yeah, it's kind of not as many, actually. It's more, there's a couple of local friends who we've got on there, guitarists, and we've got Steve's not on this one because he was COVID was going on at the time and studios were closed.
Yeah.
So, but Phil Collins on there and Billy Duffy, they're kind of, so it's kind of hard to remember what tracks they're on, really, because they're sort of doing bits and pieces on right across the album.
Well, here in the Underground Garage, we know Dave Draper from his work with Ryan Hamilton, who's on Steven's label, Wicked Cool Records. How did you meet Dave? How did you guys start working with Dave?
then again, this is all just, this is just like all the musical connections in the UK, really. There's every kind of, you know, it was the Tom connection, and then our manager, who was managed at the time, he's worked with Ginger Wildheart, and there's a big gang of musicians, and it's kind of all interconnected in the music, but it's very incestuous, the music business, as you probably know. Everyone knows everyone, and it's just recommendations, and just as simple as that, really. Try out, why don't you go and see Dave? And we did, and it worked out great.
Excellent. Well, there are 11 tracks on the album Snafu. The opening cut is our coolest song in the world this week, Easily Led. Now, you wrote this with Tom?
Yeah, that's right.
So what's the routine like working with Tom, songwriting with Tom, and how does that differ from working with, let's say, Steve Jones or any of the other musicians you've written songs with?
Well, it's funny enough, that's a classic case in point, Easily Led, because that's a combination of, I think, three songs put together, like different ideas from myself and Tom. Just throwing stuff together, and we had all these ideas for this song, and it kind of wasn't working. And then, miraculously, we just chopped two or three songs together, and that one came up. We just exchange ideas all the time. We just throw ideas about. I send stuff over to him, he sends it back, and we change this, or he changes my bits, and we're not too precious about it. And we take ideas on board, and eventually, hopefully, we get a song out at the end of it all.
Well, you know, another favorite track of mine off of Snafu is Punk Rock and a Hard Place. I love the turn of phrase there. Is that another Cook Spencer original?
It is, yeah. And also with Chris McCormack's involved in that one as well. Another, he's a guitarist who was with us, who's no longer with us again. We've got this situation. It's like the disappearing guitarist in the professionals. He's not with us anymore, but he came up with an idea. And then me and Tom worked on that again as well. And it's just kind of, it's kind of where we are really as a band. I guess the title says it all, that we're stuck between punk rock and a hard place.
Well, right. Well, I was wondering, all the vignettes you kind of describe in the verses, is that from your mutual personal experiences?
I'll hand you over to Tom because he wrote the lyrics on this one. Tom is kind of the main lyric writer in the professional, so he might be better off answering this one.
All right.
I didn't expect to speak, right? And also, I can't even remember the verses. I haven't played it for ages. But so I can't really contribute. The term, you know, I do play around with words. I like, go on then, sing it to me, Paul. We just kept texting each other, and it always seemed to be at 4 a.m. in the morning. Like I think it's a bit of, because of lockdown, you kind of lost all your structure. And I'm an insomniac anyway, just because my head, there's another line in it about hamster wheels in your head. I've got a very fast mind. But you know, with lockdown and insomnia. So it's kind of that sort of sat, you know, lying awake all night, wondering if there really is a dog. And yeah, and the music, of course, you know, the whole dilemma of it all, you know.
Well, another cool track on the album is The Elegant Art of Falling Apart. Love the title there, just by itself even. I know you've had, or been worked with band members over the years who've had addiction and substance abuse problems. How about yourself? How have you fared?
I've been okay, really. I mean, I did have a bit of a dark period many years ago in the 80s and 90s. Nothing as bad as a lot of people, but I managed to get myself out of that. And it's a common theme. I mean, like The Elegant Art of Falling Apart in the arts, really. Just generally, you get great people who are just falling apart most of the time.
I know you guys were scheduled to play some shows in October of last year, I think, in the UK. Did those take place?
Yeah, they did, actually. We've managed to get the tour. We've done a tour of about two or three weeks nearly, and we got the album out just before that. So we was out on the road promoting the album, doing some club dates around the UK. Amazingly, it all went well. There was, obviously, it wasn't a lockdown going on, and people were coming out. Still, people were still a bit wary about coming out to gigs. I think they still are at the moment, but we were getting good crowds, and we had to get out there to promote the album, really, which is still out at the moment. So we're still doing some work on that, promoting the album. And then we've got some more gigs coming up in March with a tour with Stiff Little Fingers. That's at the end of March. So that's something to look forward to. And that was meant to happen last year and the year before. So, God, it's like fingers crossed again for this year.
Absolutely. So that those shows with Stiff Little Fingers, that will be in Europe or the UK or where?
That's around the UK. I mean, if it was in Europe, it wouldn't happen, I don't think, because they're a lot stricter on the lockdown at the moment and have been all the way through. So that wouldn't happen. And now with all the Brexit situation as well, it's a lot more difficult to organise tours. Well, it's going to be, I think, organising tours in Europe as well, which is another pain.
The song I'd like us to go out on is My Ashes, and like Easily Led, it's off the new album, Snafu. And I read that the song is about Steve Jones's mother's ashes. Is that right? And can you tell us about it?
Yeah, that's right. It is. Steve's mum was named Mary, and that's where the mashes come from. It's a shortened version of Mary's Ashes, really, the title. And as you know, Steve lives in Los Angeles, has done for many, many years, and he doesn't come over much. And unfortunately, his mother died during COVID, and so he couldn't come to the funeral. And I got the ashes for him off his cousin, and I brought them back to LA when I came over a year or so ago, which was a nice touch of one. And then I mentioned this to Tom just out of the blue. The story of what was going on there. And a couple of days later, Tom's come back with these great set of lyrics about me taking the ashes over to Steve Mum. And that's how we could get the songs together. You know, I've just got to mention something to Tom when with his fertile imagination. Fertile. With his fertile.
Oh, I think fertile works too. Yeah, fertile, you know.
Well, anyway.
Fertile works. Fertile imagination. At least it does in this American's mind.
And
the lyrics are really poignant. I love that. I guess it's in the bridge where lonely is the family way. So after you see me, you can throw me away. That is pretty stinging. And that makes me wonder, was Steve estranged at all from his mom?
Yeah, he was. He's had a difficult relationship with us since he was a boy, really. And but now, you know, it's very poignant song, really, lyric-wise. It's very good, I think. And now they are reunited at last, I guess. But that's in the song as well, actually. It's all there in the song, really.
So you guys made a video for that one, and I think it shows you and Steve together in it. That's him in the video, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some old clips. We found some old clips of Steve, and we slotted him in the video. We done a video with the latest lineup, and then we managed to get some old clips of us walking around our local area, really, where we grew up. And he's in there. We wanted to, we'd like him to get more involved in the process, but that will only happen if we ever go to LA. I think he'll jump in and maybe do some stuff with us. You know, it's kind of an ever-evolving lineup around the professionals at the moment, you know, which is quite good, I think. You know, we chop and change guitarists, and our old bass player, Paul Myers, had to leave for health reasons. Now we've got Toshi Ogawa, our Japanese bass player, and we're changing guitarist again. But it's the main hub of it is me and Tom.
Right, and the name of the band is plural, so it does, you know, professional. So there could be changing people. There are other professionals coming in. You've got your nucleus and you've got other people working with you. I thought that's great. Well, Paul, man, I just want to thank you so much again for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
That's great. Well, thanks very much for, you know, and thanks for your support for playing the records and that and keeping the flag flying for, you know, punk rock and a hard place and all that.
Right. Well, we're going to give your tune, Mash, a spin now. Here's the Professionals off their latest album, Snafu, in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
She's with me, she's in my arms, making the journey to the sun and the palms. She's coming back to the boy to bury the hatchet in what got destroyed. See you later, when I'm done. See you.
That was some of Mashes from the Professionals here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Paul Cook for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Next time, I'll be joined by Louis Cabezas, the guitarist in the Dolly Rots. Their latest release is called Down the Rabbit Hole. It's a rarities collection, and we'll find out all about it on your next Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring.